Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey. One of the most encouraging books in all the Bible is the book of Job. Job was a man who suffered greatly at the hand of Satan. Yet in all of this suffering, Job held fast to his faith and he held fast to his integrity. And in the end, Job was blessed by God because of his faithfulness. We live in a world where sometimes bad things do happen. But as we think about Job, Job did not suffer because of any sin of his own. The Bible tells us in Job 1 verse 1 that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Job is presented to us as a righteous person. He is not suffering because of sin. He's not suffering because he was an infidel. Job is one who followed God all the days of his life, and as a result, he suffers at the hand of Satan. Why do people sometimes suffer today? Why do bad things sometimes happen to good people? Why does it occur in life that when we're trying to live the right life, sometimes Satan causes things to come into our life? For example, why does a mother miscarry an unborn child, something that seems very bad and very evil? Why does a spouse die unexpectedly, or a loved one who is close to us die for what we see as an unexpected death? Think about tornadoes or hurricanes that have occurred recently. Why do these things happen and cause good people to suffer? Why do people take guns and knives and commit atrocities against other people and murder and rape and things of that nature? Why do these bad things happen to good people? Job gives us some insight to this as we look at the suffering of Job and why God allowed this to occur. We begin in Job chapter 1 by looking at Satan's plan and how Satan's plan really becomes God's proof to Satan that men will serve him because it's the right thing to do. In Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, we have recorded for us these words. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land.' But Satan says, 'But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." As we are introduced to this heavenly scene, in verses 6 and 7, Satan presents himself before God on a soul hunt. He's been going to and fro and back and forth on the earth. God interprets this as looking for someone to cause to be lost. And then God offers Satan a suggestion. "Well, you've been back and forth, you've been to and fro. What about Job? Have you considered my servant Job?" Because of this question, Satan asks God a question. Does Job fear God for nothing? His response is, Satan responds by saying, the only reason that Job fears God is because you have hedged him all around and you've blessed the work of his hand. As a result of Satan's accusation, God gives Satan the power to cause Job to suffer. And so here we are introduced to this first round of events that is about to happen. But there's a key question that comes out in this section. Job chapter 1 verse 9 is really the key to the book. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" I believe this is really what Job is all about. The book of Job teaches us that we can serve God just because He's God. Do we serve God because of who He is? Or do we serve God because of what we get out of it? Do we serve God because we've been promised all spiritual blessings are ours in Christ Jesus? Are we waiting for those blessings and is that the reason that we're a Christian? If all of that was taken away and God was God and we were His servants, would we still serve Him? just because of his nature? That's the question that Satan asked God. And God draws Job up as the answer to this question. And the suffering that Job is going to have occur in his life is a direct result of Satan's efforts to show God that men only serve him because he's built a hedge around them. In Job chapter 1, verses 13 following, we now see the first test that is given to Job. The first round of test occurs in this chapter, and these are the words that are recorded for us. In Job chapter 1, verse 13, we are told, "Now there was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Imagine this successive row of calamities that occurs in Job's life. His sheep are taken. His camels are taken. Fire from God rains down and burns up his servants and his cattle. And with all of that, then a wind comes across the desert and it hits the walls of Job's oldest son's house. They are in there partying. They're in there having a good time. And as a result, the house falls on all of his children. And in one fell swoop, Job loses everything. He's bankrupt. He has nothing to call his own. Not only is he bankrupt, but Job now has lost some of the closest things to him, his own children. Truly, Satan causes Job great suffering in this first test on Job's life. But the question is this: how did Job respond? If Satan's accusation is true, that Job only serves him because of what he can get out of it, then Job should have thrown in the towel here. Notice what Job said in Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. What happened after the death of his children? He lost everything. The Bible says this: "Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gives, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Now imagine what Job has just suffered. He's just had what we might call a Black Monday. He lost everything. He lost his children. And yet the Bible tells us, "Then Job fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" This first test is proof that Job was serving God because he was God, and that men do not necessarily serve God because of the blessings, but because he is God and they want to follow his teaching. But now a second test occurs in Job's life. First, Job is struck with an awful disease that we learn about in Job chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Again, it says, "There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.' So So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks." Here we learn about this second test that occurs in Job's life. He is now given some awful disease. Throughout the book of Job, we are given some of the details of this disease. In Job chapter 2 and verse 7, we are told that Job had painful boils, burning sores from head to toe. In Job chapter 7 verse 5, Job describes his calamity, his disease, as having rotten and cracked, pus-infected skin all over his body. Chapter 18 verse 13, he describes his disease as rottenness of bone. Chapter 30, verses 17 through 19, Job described it as great anguish and pain. In chapter 30, verse 30, he describes it as skin rot and fever. Job's disease was so bad, friend, that the only way he could find comfort was by sitting in an ash pile, taking a piece of broken pottery and scraping the dead flesh off his skin. So as we think about Job suffered greatly with a physical disease, but then Satan also gets to Job through his wife. Friends, as we look at the book of Job, the great lessons that we learn from this book teach us that in spite of trials, in spite of all that Satan may do to cause us to be lost, we must hold fast to our faith in God. We must not give up on Him. We must not blame God, but rather we've got to understand that God is in control, and if we remain true to His Word and His will, He'll see us through to the end. Job learned this, for in Job chapter 42, Job was blessed more at the end of the book of Job than he was at the beginning. And Job repented and said, "I said some things I didn't understand." He asked God to forgive him, and no doubt God did do that. Today, we want to encourage you, if your life is filled with suffering, to put your trust in God. Maybe you're suffering because of sin in your life. Friend, if you've got a life that has sin in it, you'll never find true peace and happiness of any kind until you accept Jesus as Savior. How does one accept Jesus as Savior? How do we obey the gospel today? To get suffering behind us in such a way that we can rejoice even when it occurs, we must first hear the Word of God. Once we've heard God's Word, we then need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Once we believe in Jesus as the Savior and the Son of God, we confess that He is our Lord and Savior. And then we must repent of those things in our life that are not right. We've got to turn from sin and turn to God. And then one must obey God in baptism for the forgiveness of his sins. In Acts chapter 2, when they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" the answer was very clear. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And the Bible tells us in verse 47 that the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Are you a child of God? Are you suffering because of sin? You don't have to suffer because of sin any longer. Jesus can help you with the sin problem. And friends, it's our prayer today that as you go through life, you'll realize that the why of suffering is not as important as the who. May we always trust in God and give Him the glory in our lives.